FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's March 5th, 2018. Hey, as always, we'd love for you to participate in the show, to send us emails, kl@carrylutz.com. And gold, well, gold looks like it looked like it was going to break out for a bit. Now it's pulled back. Now it's kind of range bound. Is the moment we've all been waiting for coming, or are we just going to get more of the same? That's the question. Right now, in case you haven't looked, gold's down about $4 for the day, trading about $13.19 the ounce. Silver right around $16.40. Hey, well, Jordan Roy Byrne is with us now. You know him well from the dailygold.com. And Jordan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me back, Carrie. It's a real pleasure.
Likewise. So, hey, we were thinking the breakout was coming. It looks like it's been postponed for a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Carrie. I mean, one reason why I didn't think gold was going to break out on this try was because the stocks, the gold producers, were trading much closer to their lows than their highs. And if you look at the Huey Gold Bugs Index, which is similar to GDX, but without the royalty companies that have helped GDX be stronger than the Huey, the Huey, a couple days after gold hit 1370, the Huey was very, very close to a 14-month low. I think late last week it did. It closed one day at a 14-month low before it rallied. But that just gives you a sense of what's been happening, where gold has been trading at the high end of its range, whereas the stocks, the gold producers, have been trading at the low end of its range. And that just was a signal to me that gold was not ready to break out. Now, when we see the gold stocks and silver as well, when we see those start to strengthen and you know, they're well bid, that to me would be encouraging as far as gold being able to break out. But I don't see it happening yet. I mean, I do see it happening this year, but I don't see it happening, you know, in the next month or two. So there's some technical and fundamental reasons why I don't see that happening just yet.
So we're looking closer to the end of the year, and that's when gold traditionally seasonally is stronger anyway, right? Once you hit that fourth quarter.
Yeah, but it can start at the end of the summer, and also September tends to be, I mean, to me, September is really the key month. If you have a good September, gold can tend to have a really strong end of the year. And if you go back and you look at months that gold has broken out, whether it's 2009, 2005, 2002 and 2003, it had some key breakouts in all of those years. The big moves were the big breakouts, I should say, they were in September. So, I mean, I'm not a huge guy on seasonals. I mean, I think seasonals are more a coincidence than something that's really leading the market. But that being said, there's just certain months that certain assets tend to perform well or perform poorly when they're in a downtrend. And gold, when it is in a bull market, and it's kind of been sideways for the last, you know, year or two, or even the last 4 or 5 years, it really depends how you look at it. But that being said, it often shows a lot of strength towards the end of the summer. So that to me is a time that I'm looking at where it could potentially begin that breakout move and finally make that breakout. I mean, we're in March right now, so that sounds like a while, but it's really not that long. I mean, it could be 5-6 months away. Well, I guess, I mean, that's longer than a couple months, but yeah, I don't see it quite happening yet, Carrie. But that being said, I mean, looking at silver and the gold stocks, I really don't see them having that much downside in terms of price. So it tells me that the market could be, you know, we could kind of trade in tighter ranges here over the next couple months and really not make a lot of progress on either side, you know, unless we see gold go below 1300 and you know, maybe it tests the 200-day moving average, which is at about 1287. I wouldn't be surprised if gold went a little bit lower. So if we see that happen in the next couple of weeks, Carrie, that could set up a temporary rebound for a month or two, because as you know, gold has tended to make lows around the Fed interest rate hikes. And it looks like the Fed is probably going to hike rates again. So that's another coincidence. And again, if we see the sector just get a little more oversold here, it will be setting up for a rebound in the beginning of spring.
Yeah, well, it looks like it. It really has been pretty strong when you think about it, the relative strength. It's gotten close to hitting the 1300 mark and bounced off several times. So it's not too hard to imagine that it's probably going to go higher for this year. It had its January jump. Now it's kind of forming the base again, but we're seeing higher lows. So at some point, we're going to see higher highs, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, the setup in gold is very, just looking at the chart, I mean, the chart, you have to have a bullish bias. It's a very healthy base. It's been consolidating for a while, and it's holding above the moving averages, not just the 200-day, and also I like to look at the 400-day. But one thing I like doing on weekly charts is I like looking at, okay, what's the equivalent of the 20-month and the 40-month moving averages? Because those are kind of, I guess you could say, really long-term indicators. And when I plot the weekly equivalents to those moving averages, and I plot like a band of all these moving averages together, they're all aligned and rising. And what I mean by aligned is, you know, the 50-week is above the 80-week, which is above the 100, which is above the 120, the 140, the 160. So I don't want to get super technical, but when you have a bunch of moving averages and they're all aligned, where the shorter term ones are all higher than the one below it, and that's higher than the one below it. The last time that happened was, I believe, in 2002 or 2003. And so that kind of action has happened before every cyclical bull market in gold, and that action tells us that the consolidation is on the more mature side and that gold is really positioning for a breakout. So this big range that it's been in, this resistance that we have in the upper 1300s going back to 2013, I mean, it is a bullish setup here. We obviously can't predict the future. I mean, my crystal ball's broken right now. I'm trying to fix it.
Mine never worked very well.
I do, but I do with the way it's set up and everything I'm looking at also on the fundamental side, you know, I'm very confident that gold is going to break out in the second half of this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think the signs pretty good pointing to that. You know, it just seems like the stock market really is, it's getting toppy. Maybe it'll keep going higher, but if it does, the reasons it'll go higher, I think, are probably positive for precious metals, mainly, you know, greatly increased inflation rate, or perhaps you'll see the state of Illinois collapse any day. God, there's so many things that could set it off. Geopolitical, you know, it just seems like we need any one of these events to occur in gold, you know, shoots off for the stratosphere.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just an issue as far as time. And I like what you said about the stock market. I think we were talking about before, and I think bond yields are really the key, specifically long-term bond yields. And since the end of last year, Kerry, since November, gold has been trending in the same direction as long-term bond yields. And the reason that's significant is because prior to that point, it was the opposite, where we would see gold would be connected with bonds. So when bond yields would go down, gold would go up. And now it's looking at long-term bond yields. Gold has been trending higher, getting close to breaking out as long-term bond yields have been trending up. And you know, gold hit its trend line resistance first. And so it started to correct and consolidate here a little bit before bond yields. So perhaps gold is leading bond yields, but long-term bond yields are also setting up for a major breakout. And I mean, that's going to be very significant. One issue for gold, Kerry, is it has not been outperforming the stock market. And that's something I'm watching every day. And if you look really closely at that, it's trying to make a bottom here. And if that bottoms and turns up in favor of gold, that's going to be very powerful for gold and really help it finally make that breakout move, because that's something that has not gold has not been outperforming the stock market over the last couple of years. And with interest rates potentially, long-term interest rates, I mean, with them potentially making a bigger breakout at some point later this year, that's finally going to have negative implications for the economy and then the stock market. I mean, we've seen interest rates and inflation go up a little bit, but they have not gone up enough to really start to inflict pain on consumers and corporations and governments. That hasn't happened yet, but it could start to happen after we see these big breakouts in the 10-year and the 30-year bond yields, where they start to cause issues for the economy. Inflation starts to pick up a little bit too much, and, you know, potentially we kind of get into stagflation. So I think that's the scenario that would really be bullish for gold, and that would be the scenario that the market would be pricing in when we see gold exploding above 1400. And making that big breakout move that we've all been waiting for. I don't see it happening quite yet because, as I said, long-term bond yields, they're consolidating below resistance right now. I mean, they had a big rebound, big run recently, so I think they're going to consolidate like gold. But eventually, Kerry, if and when long-term bond yields break out, that's finally going to start to cause some problems, cause some pain for the stock market, and then you'll see capital slowly move out of stocks and into other assets like gold.
I agree. And let's not forget also that lending is going to pick up. As interest rates go higher, banks lend. Because up until recently, there's been no incentives for banks to lend. So all the money that's been created has effectively been sequestered. But now that rates are heading higher, I mean, look, the 30-year fixed mortgage is at 4.4%. I got an email this morning informing me of that. That's significantly higher. Once it hits 5%, you know, that's just a good bellwether of bank lending. Even though the banks aren't lending, they're intermediaries for the real estate market. They don't really lend their own money. They might buy securities that are packaged and guaranteed by the U.S. government, but they're not really lending their own money in the sector. Business loans and personal loans and credit cards, obviously, it's their own capital. So a little bit different. There's nowhere to go for credit, consumer credit. It's had its rise. It's not going to increase substantially. Business loans, on the other hand, probably are. Hey, we're at peak cycle in so many things here, Jordan. Employment numbers, even when you factor out all the manipulations on the various indices, still the new unemployment claims way, way down, 40-year levels, they're below. And so many other of these indices say this is the peak. Consumer confidence, business confidence, purchasing managers index, all that stuff is saying we're getting close to a peak here.
Right. And if you just going back to bond yields again, and, you know, a reason for that is, you know, we haven't had inflation or bond yields really starting to hurt businesses and, you know, hurt the public sector also. And that's why gold hasn't broken out yet, because things have been going so well. And you cited those statistics there. And, it hasn't quite caused inflation yet. But I mean, as you say, we're really at the peak in terms of all these statistics and indicators. And again, I really think bond yields breaking out, people have to watch that. I think that's going to be a trigger for some changes. And we're not talking about major changes overnight. I mean, these things take time. Interest rates start to rise, and then, you know, banks raise their rates, and, you know, maybe a few less people and businesses are borrowing, and maybe inflation is ticking up. So it just happens slowly, not overnight. But again, you know, at risk of repeating myself again, I really think the potential breakout in long-term bond yields, I really think that's going to be the trigger for some of these changes.
Yeah, and there's really nothing to stop them from breaking out, is there?
No, and I mean, it's the same thing like gold. I mean, they're trading in a bullish, you know, they've made this beautiful bottoming pattern in recent years. And I mean, they've hit resistance a couple times and they've pulled back. But I mean, they're trading above all these major long-term moving averages, and the trend is clearly higher. And it's just, to me, it's only a question of when it's going to happen, not if it's going to happen.
Yeah, all indications are for higher interest rates. And of course, the market, the experts will be shocked by the rapid increase in rates. I mean, if they go to 6%, what does that do to the U.S. debt picture?
Well, I mean, that would be horrible. I think at some point, I mean, if rates, if they break out and the run really gets out of control, I think at some point the Fed will have to come in and try and suppress rates and do some QE like they did in the last cycle, or I guess the beginning of this cycle, which has been so long, because given the interest on the debt and the fact that, you know, the debt has ballooned. I mean, the interest on the debt, even I think in the last year or two, has started to increase a little bit with only little increases in interest rates. But as you're saying, I mean, if you get more than a little increase, that's going to be a major. I mean, the government's already running massive. I mean, the basically the largest deficit, largest peacetime non-recessionary deficit. And you factor in higher rates at a time when, I mean, that's going to be bad for the deficit in the debt picture, but it also will hurt the economy. So you get into this problem where you get into this stagflation scenario where the higher inflation and higher rates start to negatively impact the economy. So at a time when you really need to raise rates more, you can't because it's starting to hurt the economy. And with with governments and businesses and households that have just borrowed so much money in recent years, I mean, we can't afford to have interest rates that go up that high. So you would really see, I think you would see intervention by central banks to, you know, buy bonds to try and keep interest rates low. And I mean, that you could get into a serious inflation problem in the next, you know, 2-3 years. And that's really, I think, what could push gold, you know, to $2,000 or maybe even above that level.
Yeah, there's a certain inevitability to it all, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great point. I mean, a lot of trading and investing experts, they always say timing is everything. But, you know, a lot of, I think of Jim Rogers talking about gold and just saying, yeah, he hasn't been that optimistic in recent years. But I mean, he's saying, you know, yeah, the major secular bull market is not over. You know, gold's going to go much higher. It's going to go above all, above all time highs. And, you know, you talk to many people who look at what's happening, who are real experts, and they firmly believe that, you know, in the long run, it's just really inevitable that you're going to see gold go much, much higher. It's just a question of time. And I mean, we've had this, you know, we had this cyclical bear market from 2011 through 2015. And I mean, that's gone. And, you know, we're on the cusp here. I mean, not quite yet, but beyond a couple months here, I think gold is going to be very ripe for a breakout. And, you know, you could see some fabulous moves in this market over the next 12 to 24 months.
So the question here for you, Jordan, is do you hold the physical or do you hold the stocks or both?
Well, I mean, Kerry, it really depends on the person and what their goals are and what their risk tolerance is. I do think, I mean, it's interesting because I think to really make money on the stocks, you have to deal in the juniors. And you obviously you have to learn a lot about that sector and you have to really get involved in it to know what to invest in and to know how to leverage your gains. But I think for the average person, if they don't want to get involved in that, just accumulate gold and silver every month. Now, if you want, you know, buy physical for an insurance position, because that's something you should always hold. You're never going to sell. But the simplest, best, most basic investing thing you can do is just dollar cost average every month into gold and silver. Just buy a little bit every month, you know, because maybe you have another 3, 4, 5 months before the price is really going to start to potentially take off. But just buy a little bit every month, just accumulate like that. I think that's the best, most simplest way for the average person to really get involved. You know, I'm not a huge fan of buying large cap mining companies. I mean, that's a whole nother conversation, but I mean, large mining businesses are really a Ponzi scheme. If you think about it, Kerry, yes. They're producing all this gold and then they need to go find more to replace it. So the mining business in one respect is kind of a Ponzi scheme. But if you look at the way these large miners and the way their stocks perform, the only way you really make money is at the end of a bear market. That's when they have their biggest move. I mean, just go look at how much some some of these things moved in 2016 at the late 2008 low, at the 2001 low. So I'm not a fan of like, well, I'm going to buy safe stocks, safe mining stocks. I'm not a fan of that. If you want to be safe, just accumulate the metals. You know, you can accumulate the ETFs every month. I think that's the basic, most simple way to play it, because if you really want to invest in the stocks, you really have to get into the risky stuff. And I mean, that's stuff that I'm involved in because I've been following it for many years and I'm an expert in that field. But for the average person, I would say just accumulate a little bit each and every month, and you're going to make out very well over the years ahead.
Yeah. On the other hand, they could just subscribe to your publication there and they'll know what you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just tell us where we find you again and how to subscribe.
You can go to thedailygold.com. I have a free newsletter you can subscribe to, and you can find information about my premium service at thedailygold.com/premium.
All right. Excellent. Hey, and as always, look, any questions, comments, we love for you to participate in the show. Just email us, kl@carrylutz.com. The Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz. And the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Jordan will be judging the market against your prognostications here. I have a feeling that this time is really different than all the others, but we will see over the next 3 to 6 months. Hey, thanks so much and be well.
Thank you for having me, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.